Hello, and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
So it is now, as we're recording this, it's July 8th. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the 4th of July fireworks can end now?
I think they're just here now. It's like plague and murder hornets. We just have just fireworks all the time.
Yeah, like how the cicadas just settle in for what years or months at a time or whatever, mm-hmm. just for a summer. That's what we have.
They started long before the 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they persist. They were so loud last night and very close to us in proximity. I could kind of see them through the trees. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see them well, so I couldn't tell exactly where they were coming from, but I could kind of see them. And here in West Virginia, I guess it's legal now to have the real ones.
You know, I don't even know if it is, but I know it definitely wasn't like 2 years ago, but now it seems like everyone has them. So I have no idea.
Because it on the 4th of July, it sounded like I felt like we were under attack.
Yeah.
Because there were so many different explosions coming from so many different directions.
Hey, I have to imagine it was even worse in New York.
The 4th of July was just, I mean, it started at 2 p.m., which I really don't understand what the joy of setting off fireworks when it's daylight. You can't see them, especially those like nice ones that are, I mean, I don't know. That's like a $100 fireworks show going on at like 2 p.m. But yeah, it started around 2 p.m. and it went on until about 5 a.m. I'm pretty nocturnal, but like, this past month, it's just been like every night they start around like 8 or 9 and they go until 2 or 3 and it just, it doesn't stop. And they're all cleaned up the next day, but like, usually like the people that said that, like, it's weird. My personal vendetta against it is that there is a kitten, that was crying out front of my apartment. This was like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And I was trying to lure it out, but people kept setting off fireworks. Aww. And so it was hiding up inside this car, and it was like this little, like, aww, a dirty little kitten that clearly was like not capable of taking care of itself. And I was desperately trying to save it, but there was no hope because this was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Like it had woken me up because I heard it crying outside my window. But then somebody started setting off fireworks again. So there was no hope of rescuing the car kitten.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, having never had dogs, I didn't realize how much I hated fireworks until I had kids. I know people with dogs often cannot stand fireworks because they scare their dogs. And then we had kids, and I was like, I understand now. I hate fireworks.
Yep.
Because I want my kids to sleep at some point. And the fireworks prevent that. Also, they're like really dangerous. Have you ever thought about why we let? Like, why can I have these things that explode?
Patriotism.
That is like, we choose to risk exploding our limbs off to represent the fact that some people were in dangerous war grounds. I don't know. I thought that Roman candles were not a thing anymore. Like, I thought they just like fizzed. I was legit like walking back from the park the other evening at maybe like 8. And all of a sudden, like, there's just a Roman candle goes shooting by my head. I'm like, what the heck? These kids were just having a Roman candle fight, just up and down the sidewalk.
Just like the good old days.
Yeah, I didn't know that those were back. I don't know.
Well, like the one 4th of July memory I love to share of Griffin McElroy and my child-sized inner tube when I was no more than 5 with a Roman candle taped to it.
Of course, those were the
shooting it everywhere.
Those were the ones that just fizz. That was
was that the same year we almost caught your house on fire?
No, those were the ones that just that, because there was a long patch in West Virginia where you couldn't get the exploding ones, which was good.
Yeah,
and I mean, they're all bad, but now they're worse.
Yeah,
but I guess like any conversation into like, should we really let everyone have these explosives has to lead into like, well, what about guns? And America doesn't want to have that conversation ever. So we get to have fireworks too, I guess.
I will say, you've started teaching the next generation well, Sydney. When Charlie was at our house on the 4th of July, of course, we didn't do any fireworks. We didn't have any. But we were outside at night swimming with her, and we kept hearing the fireworks going off and seeing them on both sides of us, and it was just horrible. And Charlie just yelled into the void, "Why do these people have fireworks? Those are terrible. Don't they know we're not supposed to have fireworks this year?"
Well, we told her that, you know, when she's not behaving well, when she's like fighting with her sister mm-hmm. and won't do what we ask her to do and all that, we don't reward her with like ice cream
yeah.
or a new toy. She has to not get those things mm-hmm. and maybe go to bed early or something. I don't know. We're not very good with punishments, but you get the idea.
You're not.
So like, but we won't reward bad behavior.
Yeah.
And so if right now I don't understand why America gets fireworks.
No. Why does America get dessert?
America does not get dessert. America gets sent to its room to think about what it did and to come back when it wants to behave better.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I like, you know, to be real, like every summer in New York, like there's a lot of fireworks. A lot of illegal fireworks mm-hmm. find their way here. That's nothing new. But the consistency and the frequency and the quality, that's just, I mean, because I've had a lot of people that are like, "Oh, you're just, is this your first summer in New York?" I'm like, "No, it's my 15th. This is different." this is definitely,
yeah.
Just, because I love fireworks. Like, I'm the opposite. I love fireworks. I have been that. You know, person making not great decisions, jumping over them and shooting them at my friends and letting my friends shoot them at me. I do not make good decisions. Even I am like, yeah, I'm tired. I never want to see him again. They no longer spark yeah. joy.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah.
Marie Kondo, tell us, get rid of them.
I, much like Frankenstein, have always had a fear of fire, but,
all right.
And the Scarecrow from the Wizard of Oz. I am afraid of fire, but also the combo of being a parent and a physician. Don't love fireworks. Don't love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would be fine if they went away.
I don't know.
I have now this year come out against parades and fireworks.
Well, so you're not a patriot. We know this.
Yeah.
I'm a bummer is what I am. I'm a total bummer.
It's like how Dad used to say, every party has a pooper. That's why we invited you.
And it's me. Aww. I am the one who's like, excuse me, I would rather us not have a parade because of the crowds that will gather. And
you're not the only one. You're the smart one.
I know. Everybody has now come around to your way of thinking. You were right all along. Now we
all those summers when poor small Riley just wanted to have some fireworks and some sparklers and some fun, and Sydney went on and on about the dangers. Now we're all Sydney.
Yeah.
Now everyone just hide in your home.
Just stay inside.
Stay inside where it's safe. I've told you all along. Now you're finally listening.
Think about what you did.
Think about what you did. But I don't know.
Yeah. So,
you know what's not a bummer?
Adventure Time.
Hey, there we go.
This is my week. Mine. Everyone.
My week.
No.
Well, okay. Can you share it with the rest of us? Because it's a three-person conversation.
I Whatever, I suppose.
If this is your week, could you make it better than last week or the week before or the week before or the week before that or the week?
Yeah, I was going to say, real talk, Riley. Do you want to claim any period of time in this? Because I sure don't. None of these weeks are mine. I am not responsible for any time-space continuum that's happening.
This is like our poor mom at the beginning of the year. She won't share. She won't mind. She shared this on social media a few times. At the beginning of 2020, January 1st, she said, "This is the year of Mary. This is my year." She had a big birthday coming up. She was like, "This is my year. I'm going to make it about me. I'm going to do things I love." We even, like, for her birthday, planned, like, this big birthday trip where we all three were going to be with her and be together. And
we were going to go hike because
she loves hiking.
She wanted to hike.
So
we were going to do it.
We were going to go outside and hike. And now every time something else happens, we're just like, "Well, Mom, it's your year. You claimed it.
This is your Mary.
This is your Mary."
Yeah, I don't think we could take another year of Mary.
I don't think so either. I don't think Mary can take another year of me.
Yeah, that's valid.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You can have a better year. Like, you can pick a different one, and then you can get to the end of it and then just retroactively claim it.
There we go. Yeah, we'll let you have a take back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your take back. Take back this year, and then you get another one.
Yeah.
This is a... I think we all get a redo on this year. I think we just keep,
I hope so.
Just nobody has a birthday this year. Nobody gets older. Nobody has to, just next year is 2020 again. We pretend this never happened.
Yeah, Justin turns 40 this year, and I have no idea how I'm going to make that special right now. So
I turned 20. This whole time we've done this show, we've been talking about when I come to my end of teenage years. Who knew all this was going to happen at the end of my teenage years is what happens.
I mean, you might turn 20. I don't know.
Oh, no. Who knows? Time just might continue to cease to turn and no one turns anything.
There was a video of a bunch of crows descending in a Walmart parking lot and gathering. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, at least this is happening.
That's
at
right.
At least 2019. At least we had that year.
I just felt a sense of relief and I couldn't explain it. At least the crows are here. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And the bird carrying the shark. That made sense.
Yeah.
Although Twitter informed me later, I believe it was a tuna. I look like a shark, but Twitter consensus was that it was a tuna.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it any different.
In my brain, it's a shark.
Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Is a cartoon that was on Cartoon Network. And it started in 2010. I think I probably started watching it around the time it came out because I was very young when it first aired and it didn't finish until 2018. So it was a pretty long running cartoon series, but I was very, very into it. Growing up, it was the first cartoon I remember watching from beginning to end throughout a very long, significant period of my life. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's one of those cartoons that is just kind of silly in its characters and its stories and its forms.
Mm-hmm.
But also looking back on it now, rewatching all of it, it had some good messages. It had some good moments. It was not all just silly candy people and stretchy dogs. So,
well, why do you think it in particular meant so much to you?
I tried to think about this, and first it was a cartoon that I remember I started watching with my childhood best friend at the time. So it was something that whenever we were together, that was what we would turn on, even if it was, I think that was around the time that DVR and on-demand things on TV started being things you could use. So we would always record them or do on-demand and watch them together for the first time.
Would you TiVo them?
TiVo them, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
You remember TiVo?
Yeah. Like the original DVR, right?
We still say, the original DVR. Yeah. We still say bloop because when you would fast forward on TiVo, it would make a little bloop bloop sound. And so we will still say on a TV show, do you have bloop left?
Yeah.
If you're recording it live, do you have any bloop? So you can bloop through the commercial.
That's very cute.
There's no bloop though.
There's no bloop anymore.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, it was a moment for us and our friendship. And then beyond that, I remember it was the bit of childhood I held on to throughout high school as I was getting older. I remember it was my dirty secret. I'm 17 years old and I'm a senior in high school, but I'm going to go home and watch some Adventure Time. No one will know.
An adult watching cartoons,
which now I love cartoons and I watch them all the time. But when you're in high school and, you got to be either cool or you're not cool. It's I can't.
Taylor does not understand this.
Yeah, I was I don't know. Because I watched Adventure Time at the same time as you did. And I was I was in I was just an adult at that point. I was just saying, if you were 17, that was just a few years ago. I was 30, and I was gonna watch some Adventure Time. That was my 30-year-old plans.
I think it's fair to say cartoons in general, I don't seek out the way that Justin will.
I was gonna say your husband does.
He does, and I have watched Steven Universe. Because of him,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the other cartoons I watch now are because of Charlie,
sure,
Cooper to a lesser extent, because Cooper tends to watch whatever Charlie watches. But But I didn't watch, I mean, he did watch it, I think, but I never watched Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Like, I had very little, I was aware of it, mm-hmm. but I, until now, I had never sat down and watched episodes. Yeah. It was a little scary.
You thought it was a little scary?
Well, not for me. I watched it with Charlie.
Think it was a little scary?
Charlie had some moments where she was kind of like...
Was it the Ice King? Did she not?
No, we watched what I don't know if it was... I don't know what... We just clicked on an episode. We were kind of doing random based on the pictures.
Mm-hmm. That's what they two usually do.
And Marceline's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Okay, that's fair. Which, by the way, fun fact, I didn't realize until today, the voice of Marceline is the little girl in Love Actually, who sings All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah,
I didn't Olivia know that. Olsen. Mm-hmm. That's Marceline.
You know what's impressive? Charlie was watching, and she was sitting there for a second, and Princess Bubblegum,
mm-hmm.
she said, "Yeah, that's Starfire."
It is.
Yeah.
And I said, "What?" And she said, "That's the voice of Starfire." And she was totally right. Yep. And I was very impressed that she just, after, I mean, she'd never seen the show either, yeah. but after a few seconds, she went, "That's Starfire."
Yeah. And I'm sure Charlie loved Princess Bubblegum.
Yes, she loved Princess Bubblegum. She also identified the Ice King as Tom Kenny right away.
Oh, because it's SpongeBob.
Because it's SpongeBob.
Wow.
After a few minutes of listening to the Ice King, she went, "Is that SpongeBob?"
It's from all those cartoons listening for Justin.
What she said is that the guy that I met that's the real SpongeBob, but not the one from the musical, but the one that's from the cartoon, Tom Kenny?
He has such a weird life.
We met him once at a con.
Yeah. But she knew the SpongeBob musical before she knew SpongeBob.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. She said, the real SpongeBob, but not the one from the musical.
Well, I didn't realize I was rewatching some of the. I love the Lemon Grab episodes because that's just a bizarre character. And I don't know why I didn't pick up on this. I guess because when those episodes were first out, it was maybe before Rick and Morty. But then I was rewatching. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's Justin Roiland, one of the creators of Rick and Morty.
Oh,
I was like, that sounds like a Morty voice, and it is.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and then
I guess I can hear that now that I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super on the nose, but I did not realize that until I was rewatching it. And then the voice of Jake is what's his name? John DiMaggio?
That seems right from the credits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is his name.
Who was also he was also Bender from Futurama.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh wow. He was also on Teen Titans and Kim Possible.
Who is he on Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go?
Teen Titans.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched that.
But anyways, I do like it now, though, watching it back, because when you think about, like, you watch the opening credits and they give you this little, like, tour of the whole world that's left. It's a post-apocalyptic Earth, is what it
is. Yeah.
It is?
Yes. And it is... The series takes place about 1,000 years after what they call the Great Mushroom War, because it was a big nuclear war that wiped out most humans, except for Finn and then a few others. But that's why you have people that are candy, and you have, like, the Ice King, because he was a regular human, but he found this crown that had powers during, like, the apocalypse, and all these backstories come from a post-apocalyptic Earth, but now this is the world.
Why are there so many princesses?
I guess just a bunch of different...
Is that known?
...areas and universes? Unless I miss something, I don't know.
I was just curious. I observed in the few episodes that we watched, there are a lot of princesses.
Yeah. I do know that when it comes to Bubblegum, she, like, was on her own at a certain point and kind of made all of the people... Mm-hmm. And her own family and all the candy people herself, because that's one of the things I love about that character, is she is an all pink princess, which, like, you know, very stereotypically feminine, female, whatever, but she's not a damsel in distress. She's a smart scientist, and she is powerful, and makes it very clear that she, like, isn't there to fall in love or whatever. Like,
yeah, I like the first episode we saw her in that we were watching. She, like, her first appearance, she's wearing a lab coat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was about making tarts.
Well, and she, if you watch, like, cause in the later seasons, you get, like, the flashbacks all the way to, like, right after the apocalypse. One of the, I think it's the episode, maybe it's Simon and Marcy, but it's one of the ones that focuses on Simon and Marceline. Simon is who the Ice King was before he was transformed.
Oh, okay.
And they're running from, like, the weird post-apocalyptic, like, gooey zombies that are everywhere. Yeah. And there's a pink goo that's spread across, like, a bridge. that mm-hmm. they climb up and it kind of gets them to safety. And then later the pink goo gives them the can of soup that he feeds to Marceline to help her feel better. That is the like that's what bubblegum is birthed from.
Yeah.
So she kind of like formed from the post-apocalyptic radiation. She was birthed from this like radioactive bubblegum. I didn't catch the detail that she's the one that gives Marcy the soup until the rewatch, and then it made me cry because I'm like, oh, bubblegum's looking out for Marceline moment. All the way when she doesn't even have arms yet.
She was just goo.
Just goo. Yeah, the lore is deep and weird.
It is. Like,
it starts out, you think it's like, oh, princesses and swords. That's fun. It's cute. And then, like, when you see the whole story, it's so big and sad and weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in there.
Yeah.
To dive into.
Well, let's talk about all of that. You can lead me there. I don't know. I watched some, but I obviously don't know all these details. But before we do that,
let's check the group message.
Hey, so we're all staying in a lot these days, or at least we should be. And part of that is figuring out how to fend for ourselves when it comes to food, how to start learning how to cook for ourselves better. And sometimes you need some help with like what kind of recipes and I don't know what ingredients. And HelloFresh has got you covered for all of that. You can get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouthwatering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. They've got all kinds of different boxes that you can sign up for. You can get vegetarian, you can get family-friendly recipes. So whatever your eating style of choice, HelloFresh has got you covered. It's less prep for you and there's less food waste. I can't tell you how many times I've gone and bought an entire bunch of herbs just to use a teeny bit of it in a recipe and then let them wilt away in my fridge. So HelloFresh will make sure that you don't have all that food waste afterwards. And HelloFresh has donated over 2.5 million meals to charity in 2019, and this year is stepping up their food donations amid the coronavirus crisis. I can't tell you how nice it is in the evenings to my husband and I to put together our HelloFresh together, talk. It's nice time to spend cooking, learning a little bit more about foods and flavors and what goes well together and developing those skills and then feeling really good about what you put into your body and the body of the people that you live with and love at the same time. So go to HelloFresh.com/80stillbuffering and use code 80stillbuffering to get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. That's HelloFresh.com/80stillbuffering.
All right. So help me understand, because I don't have a lot of that context for it. I mean, I watched, like I said, we kind of looked at pictures. And Charlie would be like, that one. And then Cooper would scream, no, that one. And we would. So we watched random episodes from different seasons and whatever. So I didn't know all this backstory. Yeah.
So it is. It's supposed to be a post-apocalyptic Earth. That's why you have these weird, powerful dogs, creatures, candy people, whatever. But I was reading an interview with one of the creators, and they were saying that this time period that Finn is around, and Finn's the main character, Finn the human.
Right.
Which I know they make that distinction. It seems silly, like, oh, a human and a dog. But it is important, because then you find out that humans are a very rare species now in the new Ooh is what it's called, but Earth.
Right.
But they said that this time period is when magic started coming back into the Earth after the events that everything, you know, the whole war and apocalypse and everything. So that's why you have princesses and kingdoms, and you have Finn with his swords and his fighting for good and not wanting to do anything if it means that he's being evil or he doesn't want to hurt anyone that's not a bad person. That this is supposed to be the time period when, like, good is coming back into the world and magic's coming back into the world. Which I think is very beautiful.
Why do they tolerate that Ice King stealing princesses all the time?
Well, Sydney, why did the Mario Brothers tolerate Bowser stealing their princesses all the time?
Well, I mean, they didn't tolerate it. They kept trying to defeat him.
Well, so did Finn and Jake.
Well, they just kind of take the princesses back.
Yeah.
But the story for the Ice King gets a lot deeper and sadder, because what you find out is that Simon, who the Ice King was, protected Marceline through the apocalypse. And he discovered the crown, like, every time he put it on, it would give him the Ice King's powers, but it would make him more and more of the Ice King. And so he basically sacrificed his identity and his awareness of himself to protect Marceline, and eventually became the whole Ice King. So they kind of, and I mean, you can kind of see, I don't know, I'd be curious to know how deep they had their lore planned out before they started it, because the Ice King develops over time, kind of away from a character that's just the one note of, oh, he steals princesses, into something a lot deeper and a lot sadder. And a lot of people have talked about how, because Marceline interacts with him still, and it's very sad for her because he's forgotten her. He's forgotten this whole past with them. And that it's a lot like a parallel for having a loved one with Alzheimer's in a lot of the episodes where she's trying to get him to remember some part of them. So, yeah, I mean, like, at the start, the Ice King's just a silly character. And by the end, it's like, I don't know, one of my top favorite characters, like the saddest storyline in Adventure Time.
And I mean, I think when you watch it, I went back and watched as much as I could from the very beginning, and definitely the first season and somewhat the second season, it's little one-off episodes that don't usually have a ton to do with each other, and they're all, you know, like 11-12 minutes long. Usually I remember they'd play like two back-to-back in one 30-minute slot, so you just get two little stories. But then it was like they really, really got into lore and characters. And then they would start doing these backstory episodes, and they would show these flashbacks into, you know, who the characters were, where they came from. And then they even did, there was, I was reading about the show, and I read an article about the 30 best episodes and why they were the best ones. And all of them were, you know, about either just really great story or characters. But one that's always been, I think, in like my top five is Fiona and Cake, which is the gender bent universe episode of Finn and Jake, which they said was just them taking fan fiction and turning it into a real episode. Yeah. So it was, the entire universe was gender bent. Neil Patrick Harris was the voice of Prince Bubblegum instead of Princess Bubblegum. Cake was like the female version of Jake, Cat. But they do tackle a lot of like, Fiona's a girl, so at first she's talking about like needing like dates and wanting to date Prince Bubblegum, but then also maybe Marshall the vampire instead of Marceline. But then by the end, she's like, you know, whoever I am, I'm going to be, and I'm going to be me for me. And if something comes along and I want to be with someone, I want to be happy, and that's great. But if not, I'm happy who I am, and I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to fight evil and be my own person. And it's very cool because it's like you have a female at the center of a whole adventure universe, which I feel like usually you get males at the center of those.
That's like with true.
Adventure Time.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I knew that they did that because I think I saw merchandise to that effect around the time that happened.
Yeah. That was one of my favorites.
Do you think that they were responding over time to who their audience was? Because I know watching, so Cooper really enjoyed it, watching it, I think, because there's so many different like shapes and colors, and it's a very visual, it's very evocative from a visual perspective.
Also very cute.
It is very cute. So I don't know that she was really following the plot.
Sure.
But she was really into it. Charlie was a little more hit or miss. She wanted the ones with the princesses. If there wasn't a princess involved, especially Bubblegum, she was a little less. And there were definitely characters and moments where she was like, oh no, like this is, I am too little for this.
Yeah.
Like looking at us like, what are you showing me? And so I wonder if over time they realized they had an older audience.
Well, I mean, when the show starts, Finn is 12 years old. So, you know, I started watching, I was about 10. And it's kind of like they aged him up almost with every season. So when they ended the season, he was, I think, 17 or 18. And the reason they ended the season or the series was, they said, because this was about his growing up and going through adolescence and learning how to be an adult and entering adulthood. And we ended this part of his story here because this was him leaving his childhood and becoming an adult. So I think they definitely started aging up the stories and the characters with their audience, because I know that I almost aged up perfectly in line with Finn throughout the series, which is pretty cool to watch. Well,
that is cool.
And I think it follows that same formula. We talked about it when we talked about Sailor Moon, and I think Steven Universe does it too, where they start with something that seems kind of innocuous and very easy to follow and easy to understand and episodic, or just like, you know, episode of the day-ish. and then it grows in depth and complexity with the audience. And I think that's really it's a smart way to plan a cartoon that's going to mm-hmm. last for that long.
Yeah.
I wonder if more and more cartoons are going to do that, that are aimed at children, because I don't think that was ever a thing, like, traditionally with cartoons we watched when we were little,
mm-hmm.
that they would grow into, like, something you could follow
sure.
beyond, you know.
Just little one-off yeah. episodes with cute stories and characters.
And no connection yeah. between episodes. I mean, but I would say that's definitely more and more true of the stuff we watch.
Yeah.
With the girls. I mean,
it's just every single character. There's even a whole episode that's on that list of the best episodes I was looking at called Root Beer Guy. And it's about this little side character that's in the very first episode called Root Beer Guy, who's just, I mean, he's a little candy person, looks like a little thing of root beer. But then he gets a whole episode that's just about him and this, like, deep life he has about wanting to be a true crime author. And then he's not very good at writing, and he's married and has kids, but then he stumbles upon this plot to kidnap Princess Bubblegum, so he starts following it around and writing about it. And, like, it's just things like that where they give even the smallest characters that seem most innocuous, like Gunther, who's the Ice King's, like, head penguin.
I love Gunther.
Ends up becoming, like, the Ice King sort of equivalent by the end, and wants power and also wants his own drum set like the Ice King has. And the Peppermint Butler, who's, like, Princess Bubblegum's servant, ends up having, like, dark magical yeah. powers. I mean, it's just everything has something well, going on. It's awesome.
And some of the, I mean, both standalone episodes and the lore, it's like, it the depth and kind of the sadness that they don't shy away from, like the Cookie Princess episode. Mm-hmm. That episode, I rewatched that, and man, it's entirely about this little cookie who, I guess he's in, like, a candy person orphanage as a kid, and Princess mm-hmm. Bubblegum visits and says, like, oh, you can be anything you want to be, and he says, I want to be a princess, and she laughs at him, and so he mm-hmm. grows up with this, like, kind of sadness about, you know, Princess Bubblegum laughing at him, and the story is he, like, takes a Quickie Mart, like, hostage to force Princess yep. Bubblegum to give her crown to him so he could be the cookie princess, and, like, it's really sad. Like, it's, you know, all the banana guards, like, chase him, and he jumps yep. off a cliff and shatters and, like, ends up in a mental mm-hmm. hospital in, like, a straitjacket, and then, like, Jake shows up with a crown for him so he can finally be the cookie princess. It's a really complex episode that, like, kind of yep. frames Bubblegum as a bad guy, and Jake's not really paying attention to the sadness of it. It's like, that's not just something that, like, a kid can, that's just not like, oh, it's a funny episode. It's really deep yeah. and sad, or not sad, but deep. The episode where Finn goes into the pillow world, and mm-hmm. he lives an entire life. Like, he meets the pillow princess and marries her and has kids with her and grows old and chooses to stay there. Like, he has the opportunity to come back to his world, but he doesn't. And so he chooses to die in the pillow world, and then mm-hmm. in, like, comes back to his world as, like, a little boy again. Yeah. Like, it's a yeah. whole lifetime that he lives inside the pillow world and then just forgets it. And, like, that's not mm-hmm. just, like, goofy, funny stuff. That's, like, a, you know,
that's a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
That happens on Doctor Who sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
I was just thinking, like, yeah, oh, like, does. On Doctor Who.
Yeah.
but, you know, not a plot line that you would imagine in a kid's cartoon. You know?
Yeah. No. Well, and that sounds to me like the kind of thing that isn't, there are a lot of plot lines, you know, okay, you guys are going to make fun of me. When I watch Peppa Pig with Charlie and Cooper, they love Peppa Pig, but they're like, there are lines and jokes and story parts that are clearly because they know parents are watching.
Uh-huh.
Like, very evidently.
Yeah.
They know parents are watching. And they're very funny. But, like, the plot is not about that. It's aimed at kids. Like, this is for kids.
I have been made to watch Peppa Pig many times, and there is no through plot going on.
No, it is for kids.
Yes.
But there are moments in there that they're like, don't worry, we got your pants. Here you go. Here's a little something for you. Because there are moments that make me laugh very hard, and both Charlie and Cooper turn around and look at me like,
what?
What are you doing? This is not like that. Because that's
Adventure
what
Adventure Time is not like Peppa Pig.
No, well, I mean, this is not
I was,
like...
I was like, is there a secret depth to Peppa Pig that I'm missing out on?
No, well, it's not a depth. It's like little things that they throw out there for the parents.
Well, it's like when you watch SpongeBob back and there's all those moments, like jokes. I have watched SpongeBob back and there are moments and jokes where I'm like, oh, I didn't get that as a kid. That's an adult joke now. Yeah. I see.
I think it's because it's, you know, a lot of the real, like, it's not necessarily lessons that you learn in adulthood, but the things that you encounter, it's just kind of like, oh, that's a new thing I have to think about, or that's a reality I have to face. And that's the thing, like, Adventure Time doesn't always boil down to, here's a lesson about sharing, like, here's a lesson about friendship. A lot of times it's like, mm-hmm. here's just a weird gray area of truth that you'll confront as you come of age that you'll have to figure out how to deal with.
Yeah, and that sounds older to me. Like that's different. That's why I was contrasting. Sure. Like it is. This is something where like a plot line like that would be aimed at someone older. Mm-hmm. Would not be like Charlie can identify with this part of it, but there's also this other level. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it is on that level intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we have intentionally made the plot this complex and nuanced, as opposed to Peppa Pig, which is wonderful, but not as complex and nuanced, perhaps.
I do think it's important to know, we mentioned this in a few episodes ago, that the very last episode, the series finale, ends with Princess Bubblegum and Marceline the Vampire Queen sharing a kiss, a very sweet moment where Marceline is worried Princess Bubblegum might die, basically. There's a whole another war going on, and she doesn't, and then they kiss. And there's this whole backstory that's never talked about in too much detail or like said explicitly, but it's like Taylor mentioned before, they obviously used to have some sort of romantic history, and then you see that at the very end of the show, which I think is super cool, because I think that was probably the first time I'd ever seen two female animated characters kiss or be together romantically. I don't think that's anything I'd ever seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is. It doesn't feel like it comes from nowhere, because there is a lot of back and forth with the characters where you get the sense they were very close, and then there was a falling out, and then you know there's a lot of tension between them. It's really beautiful rewatching it and being like, this was always supposed to happen. Maybe not always. I think that they've said like it was a decision they made like earlier on in the series, but started like dropping hints. You know.
Yeah. Well, and it is nice to see like. There was such a long time where that sort of representation that was kind of hinted at and suggested was as good as you could hope to get, you know. Whereas now, like when I think of like the cartoons that my kids watch now, I talk a lot about the Loud House as being representative of not just straight relationships and straight characters, but Craig of the Creek is another really great example, which if you're not watching, you also watch Craig. And Craig of the Creek is another one, too, where I get the sense that there is going to be more of a through line that they're slowly building, but it's so slow. And so it still feels very like one off episodic. But but again, like the representation of characters who aren't straight is it's explicit. It's part of it. Whereas before, like you would kind of couch that in some sort of magical, fantastic world.
Yeah.
You know, same as like Steven Universe, right? Steven Universe very much started with that kind of idea. These were not straight relationships, but it's also like they're not humans. Right. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which brings up, I think, my favorite relationship in Adventure Time between Jake and Lady Rainicorn. Who are together from the very first episode, and Lady Rainicorn is just this magical flying rainbow unicorn who only speaks Korean, I believe is what she's speaking, the whole time. Right?
I think you're right that she speaks Korean.
I think it's Korean. I watch with subtitles almost always, just like by force of habit. They don't ever put in like, oh, here's what she's actually saying. It's just that is her character, that is the language she speaks, and Jake is the only one who ever fully understands her, and they have a very, very weird relationship because it's Jake the dog and then the big flying rainbow unicorn.
And they have babies.
And they have lots of little magical babies. and they're all very cute.
And the babies all get, like, they all grow up, apparently, like, the children of Rainicorns or magic dogs grow up very fast, so they all, like, become, mm-hmm. like, young adults, and Jake has to deal with that. Yeah. And I think there's one episode where one of his kids is super responsible and, like, put together and professional, and it's contrasted with Jake just, you know, living in a treehouse with his kid best friend, and it's like...
Yeah. It's,
oh, no. My kid's more responsible than me. What do I do?
But also, Jake and Finn, which I didn't mention earlier, are brothers, right. Like adopted brothers, because Finn was abandoned when he was a little baby, which you find out later, like, there was this whole, like, protection by his human parents, and they had to leave him behind and all this kind of stuff. But then Jake's dog parents find him, and they're like, oh, let's take care of this baby. And the story is, you know, based on him. Jake or Finn was a baby. He pooped on the ground and fell into his poop. It was a story called Boom Boom Mountain. And then he got very sad about it, and he was crying as a baby there. Then he had pooped, and then Jake's parents found him in his poop and carried him home, and then they adopted him and owned him, and now he and Jake were brothers.
You said the word poop a lot just now.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, that was a lot of that.
Yeah, well, that's like really the whole... It was very sad. He was, like, they were trying to save someone who was stuck on Boom Boom Mountain, and Finn had to deal with, like, this whole, like, traumatic past he had there, and had to, like, still fight to save the people that were sat there, even though being there gave him bad memories of being there when he was a baby and being alone in his Boom Boom.
Well, and that is kind of one of the weird roundabout ways that they deal with things that are actually, like, I mean, yeah, that's a silly story, but they're talking about dealing with past trauma.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, sure. They could...
Which, again, you watch it when you're a kid, and you're like, oh, he pooped, and then got stuck in his poop, and he cried, and he's a baby. But then you watch it when you're older, and you're like, oh, but he, like, has some traumatic experiences going on there, and he's having to deal with those to help other people.
And I mean, similarly, like, you brought up his parents. Like, he finally, like, finds his dad, and his dad's a total jerk face. Like he loses an arm trying to find his dad, and is depressed. Like, right, like, you know, like, goes through a depression afterwards, and they... You know, this is not stuff like an adopted kid finding his, you know, or his parents and, like, discovering that they aren't great people. Like, that is a storyline for a kid's cartoon. An important one, I think, but, you know, dealt with in kind of a fanciful, like, magical way, but then relating to something that's real and important to recognize.
Sure.
Not as important, but I did enjoy the goose.
You did? Enjoy the goose.
The goose made me laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to know if Dr. Princess is a character that comes back, or is she just there for the one episode? She helps deliver Gunter's baby.
Yeah. I know there are several episodes where, like, all the princesses are just, like, in kind of one big princess cluster. I want to say she's there for all of those, where just you kind of got all the princesses there at once.
I enjoyed the I'm not even a real princess, it's just my surname joke.
Yeah, that was very good.
But I felt seen from Dr. Princess.
Dr. Princess kind of has a you vibe.
She does. Yeah. She has a me vibe. I saw her and I was like, oh, okay. I
get
here.
It. Yeah.
I'm present.
I forgot to mention, Jake and Lady Rainicorn have babies, and Jake, you know, identifies as a male character, but he is the one that has the children. And Jake's dad was the one that had him, and I like gave birth. And I think that's really cool that, you know, you have this male character who is dating and married to, I suppose, a female character, but the males are the ones having the kids, because, like, gender roles don't seem to mean much in the world of Adventure Time. And it's never a thing they make a big deal out of either. Just like I don't think they ever make, like, a whole big, oh no, controversy ordeal over, like, Bubblegum and Marceline being together at some point. Which I think is cool.
Well, very cool.
I just wanted to check. Dr. Princess does appear in a lot of episodes, but also she appears in disguise as Science Wizard.
Science Wizard?
Did you? Now you've given away my other identity.
Oh, no.
I often am disguised as Science Wizard.
No. So did you perhaps encounter Tree Trunks in your little bit of watching?
Oh, I did.
Tree
not.
Trunks is one of
you
my favorite characters.
My gosh!
The first I mean, that's like, I kind of felt like, oh, the first season's real light and silly, and, like, the first episode with Tree Trunks, it's like, maybe it's one of the first episodes in the season or in the series.
Yeah.
Like, it's really dark.
Yes. Tree Trunks is a little tiny elephant, and she's like an old woman.
She talks in this silly, like, old lady voice. It's old. Really cute.
Yeah. But she talks of wanting to pick this perfect crystal enchanted gem apple because she makes pies, and she wants to make one out of this apple, but she's not very good at adventuring because she's old. So Finn and Jake take her on this adventure through the scary forest to find the gem apple and show her that she can be a good adventurer. But like, her way of trying to beat animal or beat monsters is to, like, put on makeup and do a sexy dance for him and seduce him and try to kiss
him. And they don't shy away. Like, she's going, like, I'm going to seduce him with my body. It's like, oh no.
But it's very good. It's very, like, cute.
Spoiler alert for the very old episode Adventure Time. It all culminates with finally they find the crystal apple. And so they, like, lift her up and she takes a bite of it and then she explodes. And then they go to credits. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, it's like,
And then it's just a while before you hear from Tree Trunks.
Yeah, she comes back. She's just, you know.
Yeah, well, that's like good.
She's fine.
It's really, oh man. I was like, every episode just has so many weird little details. Like, there is so much world building. There are so many characters that, like, you want to know about, or they'll eventually come back to. There's so much loop around. Like, it's really the amount of creativity that's poured into this. Like, it's amazing. It's so just, like, rich.
Yeah. Well, rewatching, I was going to just pick at it a little bit to get the basics back, but I couldn't stop watching.
Well, I think I will be watching more because Charlie and Cooper very much.
Oh, good.
To watch more.
Good.
So
I'm glad.
Yeah. Charlie and Cooper will like the little rain acorn Jake babies.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Especially Cooper was, like, demanding, didn't want to go to bed last night, demanding another episode.
Yeah. Can see Cooper liking it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's very bright.
So
what I will say, one of the main creators on that, Pendleton Ward, there's a, not for kids, but there's a new show on Netflix called The Midnight Gospel, which is one of the most beautiful things. It's animated, but one of the most beautiful, like, just heart-wrenching. It's basically, it's kind of built around a podcast, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's like he's interviewing these different people, and they're kind of going through these fantasy landscapes as he's interviewing them, but then the actual dialogue is from a podcast interview, and it's really gorgeous. It's intense. There's like, it's definitely for adults. Don't let the kids watch this 100%, but it's really good.
Sid, what's up next?
Oh, next. We haven't done Archie yet.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Oh, man.
Well, we're not talking about what, now, Riverdale, or we're talking to Archie.
At least make sure you know the language of Archie comics. I will let you all discuss Riverdale as much as you see fit. I will not be watching Riverdale.
I had to stop watching Riverdale even, so.
I will not.
Fell off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will be discussing the Archies of yore.
I'll reread some of your old ones I still have at the house.
Sure. I have some if you need some.
Oh, good. Even more.
You need some double digest? I got some.
Well, thank you all for watching Adventure Time with me and discussing it with me.
Well, thank you. Yes. It was a good addition for our for the girls.
Good.
A good new show for them.
Yeah.
So maybe I won't have to watch the same episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse with the pirate ship and the treasure again.
I hope you'll get out of that cycle.
I've seen it 35 times. Well, thank you, Bo. Thank you, listeners. I hope you're all staying safe, staying well, taking care of yourselves. Thank you to MaximumFun.org for hosting our show. You should go to Maximum Fun for lots of podcasts you would enjoy. You can email us at stillbuffering@maximumfun.org if you have suggestions or questions or comments. You can tweet at us at stillbuff. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Your Mind.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am still buffering.
And
I am too.
Now, for extra credit, you could listen to the Archies as well.
What about the old cartoon?
Oh, hey.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
I've seen that before.
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm, and the doctor had told me I'd never walk again.
I couldn't get my book started.
I was lost, honestly.
I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Ono, Ross, and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders.
I'd call them heroes.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
My arm is better. I can walk again.
I wrote an entire book this weekend. It's terrible, but I did it.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sounds you listen to in your ears. All these people are made up. Goodbye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.